Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. It's nice to see everyone popping into the room on this April morning, stormy April morning, I think, in a lot of the country. We had storms all night long, and maybe they're thinking about moving on now. It looks like it might be clearing up a little bit, but I haven't looked to the west, which is where we find out whether it's clearing up or not. Phil's to the west. Phil may be able to give us a weather report of whether it's clearing up or whether the storms are continuing to come. Well, what I'd like to do first is open up for each of us to say hello to one another. And if you like, you know, share about your weather, because I think that this is a stormy time of year here. At least in the USA. I'm going to play a song that I often play during the opening when we are just saying hello to one another on the board. The name of this song is Awakening, and it's by Deva Premal and Mitten. So everyone, please say hello.
Calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Dawn is breaking. Waves are coming in. We're talking about storms moving on, clarity coming. All very, very nice symbols. Yeah, lots of Colorado people, Barb is commenting, and I noticed that as well. I noticed there are four of us in the room right here from Pueblo, so that's kind of interesting. Pueblo being, you know, you could call it the home office of awakening together. I'd like to welcome everyone to the room. Especially if there's someone here who is here for the gathering for the first time, kind of a special hello to you. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers, and we are dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. Some of the spiritual works and masters that we study and contemplate are, but this, by the way, is not at all an all-inclusive list, but some of the ones that you will hear us speaking about and contemplating are the Bhagavad Gita, the Tao Te Ching, Buddha, the Sufi mystics, the Christian mystics, A Course in Miracles, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, India's masters, such as Sri Ramana Maharshi and Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, modern masters, such as Adyashanti, Eckhart Tolle, Byron Katie, and many, many more. What we find within all of these scriptures and masters is a similarity or a sameness. And it's really the sameness that we contemplate, although we respect the differences. It is the sameness that we focus on. And although teachers, masters, scripture are all helpful to us as we awaken to universal truth, we realize that absolute clarity always arises within oneself. If I am contemplating a master, and as I contemplate that master, clarity comes. That clarity came from within. the master that I was contemplating was merely the catalyst for my own clarity. Because clarity always arises within oneself, we at Awakening Together encourage the unique expression of wisdom as it comes through our ministers, our members, and our friends. And our friends, by the way, are everyone who has not yet become a member. Everyone else is our friend. And we encourage the expression of clarity, the expression of wisdom through everyone. And in fact, one of the things that we do is we provide the opportunity for that expression of clarity. One way is right here in this room, our online sanctuary. Everyone is invited to teach or present or share here. And you can share clarity in whatever form, whatever way it comes to you. You can contact Lynn Johnson. She's our sanctuary director, and she will help you find a time when you can share in the room. And let's see, Lynn, what is your email address again? I kind of know it. I know it's a yahoo.com, mlynn, but then there's some numbers in there. Yeah, mlyn811@yahoo.com. So if you really want to share from the clarity that's percolating within you, please contact Lynn at mlyn811. Is this last three word digits, 811@yahoo.com. Another way that you can share your clarity is on your own blog. Many of our members have blogs, and in fact, if you do have a blog where you express clarity, if that is the purpose of your blog, you can link it to our member blogs on our Awakening Together website. And if you want to see our list of member blogs, you just go to awakening-together.org and click on our inspiration menu. And there you'll see member blogs. And when you click on that, you'll see our members' blogs. Again, if you have a blog where you express clarity, we can link to it there on that page. Also, if you do not have a blog, you might consider going to WordPress.com and starting a blog. It's pretty easy to start a blog. And then you can, when you're contemplating in the morning, you can go and post on your blog, link your blog to our website, and everyone will be able to share in your clarity. Lynn, by the way, is saying you can also contact her on Facebook at xlynn, x space, L-Y-N space, Johnson, to get a sharing time here in the sanctuary. And then a third way that you can share your clarity if you are a member is you can submit an article to us, an article that expresses your clarity, and we will post it on the Awakening Together blog. Which, by the way, if you want to read the articles that have been posted to the Awakening Together blog, you can find that also on the inspiration menu. Now, there are submission guidelines for these articles, and you can find those on the Join Us menu, the submission guidelines. But we'd love to have your clarity expressed on our blog as an article. We celebrate each person's wisdom, just as we honor the wisdom that's expressed through renowned masters and renowned scripture. To us, it is all the same. Your wisdom and the wisdom of the Upanishads, your wisdom, the wisdom of the Tao Te Ching, your wisdom, the wisdom of Ramana Maharshi, it all comes from the same source. Therefore, it is the same. There is only one source of universal wisdom. And whenever anyone writes, speaks, or acts from universal wisdom, that one abides in that moment as the true self. And that's what we celebrate here at Awakening Together. I'd like to share some announcements. Odev is mentioning that we now have 338 members of Awakening Together. The Choose Again retreat is starting next Saturday. So we're less than a week away from the Choose Again retreat. All the planning has really been completed. And so now we're just waiting for the people to begin to arrive here in Pueblo and Canyon City for that event. And we are now setting our sights on the next retreats that are coming up in September, which, you know, really isn't that far away. I think you all know how fast summer spins around the globe. So September is going to be here before we know it. So it really is time to start thinking about this next set of retreats. The first retreat is an Awakening Together Satsang Retreat. And by the way, both retreats are going to be held in Santa Barbara, one right after the other. So if you want to attend both retreats, you can fly once and attend two retreats right in a row. Again, the first retreat is the Awakening Together Satsang Retreat. That retreat will be over the weekend. It will begin with supper on September 12th, which is a Friday, and run through lunch on September 14th, which is a Sunday. Our guests for that retreat are Timothy Conway, Magdi, and Kirtana. Now, a lot of people have told me they don't know these individuals, and so we'll be spending time here in the sanctuary and on the website introducing you to them over the next couple of months. But I can assure you they were all selected by the Member Board of Trustees because of their wisdom, because of their clarity. And in fact, we introduced Timothy to you here last week at the Awakening Together Satsang here in the sanctuary. If you missed that, you can listen to the recording of that satsang by going to our website, clicking on the inspiration menu, and then featured talks. And you'll find the satsang with Timothy there, and you can listen. You can also go to his website, which is enlightened-spirituality.org, enlightened spirituality with a hyphen in the middle. There's a lot of things on his website that you may enjoy. One is that he does have some recorded satsangs there. So you can find those audios. It's near the bottom of his menu and listen to more Timothy. But also, he has several links. One link that you might find particularly interesting is the religion and spirituality link. Because just like Awakening Together, he finds truth everywhere he looks. So he has articles there about Kabbalah, articles about Buddhism, articles about Sufism. It just goes on and on, Christian mystics. And what he finds in all of this are pointers towards truth. And so he's very, very similar. In fact, the same as Awakening Together in that way. And I think that makes him a great speaker for our first Awakening Together Satsang Retreat. The most common comment that I have heard about Timothy since introducing him here at the Satsang last Sunday was that people could feel his love. They could feel the love that was coming through him as they listened, either here in the room or on the audio. People are using words like, he is amazing. I felt like I was lucky because I had the benefit of seeing him on video as well. But that love, that love that comes through him, that is the love of spirit. That is the love of our awakened oneself. And if you are not fully awakened to that yourself, and you still have lots of doubts, lots of fears, lots of judgments, belief in your own unworthiness, belief in your own guilt, ideas that you're bad, that you're never good enough, that you'll never make it, there's something about being with someone who can see clearly beyond all of that that is truly, truly helpful. And that's the way Timothy is. And that's one of the reasons that we are having the satsang, is because it really is helpful to be in the presence of someone who truly sees beyond all of that stuff that you believe about yourself and that you believe about the world. That's also true of Magdi. Magdi has that same clarity, that same love, that same ability to see through that which isn't true. And Magdi is our second speaker at the satsang. Magdi will be our speaker here in the room at the sanctuary at our next online satsang, which will be the third Sunday in May. That is May 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you want to get to know Magdi, you can come here. His talk will also be recorded and posted on the featured talks afterwards if you want to listen to that. But I really do think it is worth your while, worth your time to spend time listening very deeply. And when I say very deeply, I really mean with the heart, not the head. And listening without thinking, if you can, just listening. Just listening. And when you just listen to people like Timothy and Magdi, what they're saying gets through better than if you're listening and thinking about it, listening and analyzing it, listening and comparing it to other things that you've heard before. If you just listen, what gets through is amazing. So again, both Timothy and Magdi will be our speakers, and then Kirtana will be our musician. And I'm going to share a song of hers today, so you'll get to hear a little bit from Kirtana. But that is the Awakening Together Satsang Retreat, which will be held September 12th to 14th in Santa Barbara. And then starting the same day that retreat ends, on September 14th through 18th, there is going to be a second retreat at the same location called Awakening Together Soak in the Beauty. And this retreat is really designed as an opportunity to integrate what has come to you, what you have realized over the weekend, to integrate it before you go back to your daily life. You know, ego loves it when we have realizations but then quickly forget them. And it really is helpful to take time to soak in that beauty, to soak in the beauty of what was realized. And so that's the purpose of this four-day retreat that follows the weekend. We'll also be soaking in the beauty in Santa Barbara. In fact, the format for the retreat is in the evening we will have discussions. So not only is that will that be a time to share your clarity, but if there were some doubts or some confusion that came up over the weekend, we can look at those and address those, or some fears that came up, we can look at those and address those during the discussions in the evening time. Each morning will be silence, but the Santa Barbara Old Mission, where we're going to be, is this gorgeous, beautiful place with lots of places to walk and lots of places to sit. It's a wonderful place to be silent and to go very, very deep within in your own inner contemplation. So we will have silence every morning all the way through lunch. After lunch each day, however, we will break silence and we will board a tour bus for a lovely place in the area. We're going to go to three different beautiful places of nature where we can walk and we can talk. Or if you still want to continue your silence, you can walk a little bit separate from everyone and continue your silence, or you could just find a place to sit and continue your silence. And then again, in the evening, back to discussion. Also, Timothy Conway has agreed to join us for at least one of those evening discussions. So there'll be a little more time with Timothy Conway in a smaller group at that second retreat. I will be your hostess at that retreat, by the way. So the second retreat, again, will be starting on Sunday evening with supper, September 14th, and running through Thursday morning, September 18th, breakfast. So two retreats in a row, the Satsang Weekend Retreat, September 12 to 14, and then the follow-on Soak in the Beauty Retreat, September 14 to 18. And, of course, you can find information at awakening-together.org under events. Now what I would like to do is open us up with a song. This song has been a favorite of mine since 2004. So, you know, it really is one of my very, very favorite songs. It is by Scott Grace, and it is called You Guide Me.
Step, Lord, you're leading me home. Like a stream in the desert, like a path through the snow. Wherever I am in this world, you're guiding me
All right, let's take a moment of silence and prayer. As I pray, I reach inward with my attention. I reach inward to the heart, and then through the center of the heart to something that is like the heart but beyond it. Something from which all clarity and wisdom emanates. Something from which true joy, happiness, peace, love emanates. Something that can't be touched and can't be seen. And yet it can be fully realized, not as an object, but as the actuality of what I am, the truth, before any false ideas were added. And that way is called home. And sometimes there's the feeling of not being home because the attention isn't placed there. The attention is placed elsewhere with thoughts, concerns, fears, emotions, appearances, imaginings. This seems to be a going out away from home. And yet at the same time, there's something in us, something that is right there the whole time, that is home. It's never apart from us, and we can never leave it. And therefore, it only takes an instant to be back in its presence, to be back as it, instead of as the concerned character in the world. We ask it to help us know it, recognize it, stay with it, be it, abide as it. That is our purpose. That is our heart's desire. That is the only thing that can make us truly happy. Amen. And now it's time for an inspirational reading by one of our Awakening Together members. And today, Kathy Smith is going to do that reading. She's going to read a story about a devoted Muslim. This story is adapted from John Troy's e-book, The Human Gospel of Ramana Maharshi. If you're interested in that e-book, it is available for free, and you can find it on the Awakening Together website under Inspiration Free e-books. This story about the devoted Muslim was told by V. Ganeshan, who is the grandnephew of Ramana Maharshi. I believe when Timothy was here last week, I recall him telling the story of Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj bowing at the feet of V. Ganeshan and telling V. Ganeshan that it was his time to teach. So V. Ganeshan is the one who told this story, which Kathy will now read. Kathy, I'm turning the mic over to you.
Good morning, everybody. So when Regina actually sent me this to review for reading, I always try to read through several times before I actually present it to the group, and I noticed there were several words within this reading that I was not familiar with. And I also felt prompted to stop at a certain point and contemplate a particular line. And I also noticed in my peripheral vision that there were a couple of more lines that came after this. And so I thought, okay, well, I will go back to the story and ask Regina if she had not sent me the entire story. But I felt to contemplate the what I thought was something very profound for me. And so when I wrote Regina back and said, I don't think I got the whole of the PDF file, she wrote back and said, no, you did. Those were just two mistaken sentences. And that the line that I felt to contemplate was actually the end of the story. In addition to that, I noticed, as I say, the words that I was unfamiliar with. So I thought I would do a little bit of research on that. And for instance, one of the words was what I would call an English pronunciation, samadhi. And I looked up on a website, it's called Pronounce Names, and it's for those of us who don't know certain names or certain cities and want to know how to pronounce them. And this was from, this website was created from an engineer from Mumbai. And so I thought, well, that will be perfect. And she made this website as a result of a trip she took to what she said was going to be San Jose, California. And obviously for those of us that know better, it is San Jose. And so she made a website for those of us who are ignorant about pronouncing names. And so I went to her website, and she actually pronounced the word samadhi as samadhi with a TH on the end. And then I asked my son-in-law, who works with an Indian fella, how he would pronounce that word. And he said, samaji. And the point of all this will be, just like Regina said, that the meaning remains the same. The pronunciation might be different, the spelling might seem different, but the meaning is always the same. And the last line that I was to contemplate also reflected that idea. So with all that information, here I go with the story. And like Regina said, it's the story of a devoted Muslim told by V. Ganeshan, grandnephew of Ramana Maharshi. Mazdan Swami was a staunch Muslim. His parents observed all religious codes, rituals, and disciplines rigorously and brought him up in the same manner. Even as a child of 8 years, he would enter into samadhi, a state of repose and silence, without knowing what it was. He had the natural ability to be detached from people and things from childhood. This remarkable devotee followed all the Islamic injunctions and was very much devoted to Allah and Prophet Muhammad. In 1914, Mazdan Swami was living in a village 40 miles away from Tiruvannamalai and from where Desiramal hailed. Being two of the only people in that village who shared a similar spiritual madness, the two became friends. One day she told him, "Mazdan Swami, you must meet my guru." She then brought him to Virupaksha Cave to Ramana Maharshi. After this staunch and devoted follower of Islam came to see Bhagawan at the cave, this is what he recounted. Ramana Maharshi was seated like a rock. His unswerving gaze was filled with grace, compassion, and steady wisdom. I stood by his side. After giving me a look, the gate of my heart opened, and I was also established in that state in the very first encounter. Just one look from Bhagawan, and I stood like that for 8 hours, absolutely without fatigue, and filled with total absorption and peace. When he returned to his village, Mastan Swami experienced some conflict within himself. Until then, his master had been Prophet Muhammad. Though Allah was God, and Prophet Muhammad was his guru, here was a living guru, Ramana Maharshi. Am I disloyal to my other guru, Muhammad, who is no more? He wondered. This was his conflict. He was filled with Bhagawan's presence. But as he was brought up in the Islamic tradition, he had this feeling. Am I brushing aside my master Muhammad because he is no more in the body? Fortunately, he was bold enough to go to Ramana Maharshi and confess, Bhagavan, this is my problem. Please help me. Ramana Maharshi looked at him for some time because Bhagawan was never interested in the question. Bhagawan was always more interested in the questioner. He looked at Mastan Swami for a full 15 minutes, showering all his grace, and replied, Do you take this body to be Bhagawan? Do you think the prophet is dead? Then is Buddha dead? Is Jesus Christ dead? Is Adi Shankara dead? Are they not guiding hundreds of thousands of people even today? Are they not living in the heart? A living guru means the one living in one's heart as a guru. A living guru does not mean somebody living in a body at a given historical time and at a given geographical space. The guru ever lives in your heart. Heart is Allah. Heart is Muhammad. Heart is Jesus Christ. Heart is Buddha. And heart is Bhagawan. Live in the heart as the heart, by diving into the silent heart. These words were recounted to me by Viswanatha Swami. I could not grasp them immediately, so I requested Viswanatha Swami, please explain it so that I can understand. He said, the guru is timeless. To talk of the guru in time, you bring in death, birth, living, all this. There is no outer guru and inner guru. There is the guru principle, which is the heart of every one of us. I said, Swami, how do you say this? He replied, a devotee once came from Lahore. Guru Vanamalai and Lahore are more than 1,000 miles apart. In the 1920s and 1930s, travel was almost impossible in India. He could stay for a month or so. But when he was to leave, he wept before Bhagawan. How can I leave you and go, Bhagawan? Bhagawan asked, where are you going? Can you go away from Bhagawan? Bhagawan is always with you. Bhagawan is in you. In fact, you yourself are Bhagawan. It is the same state of I am in each of us. Living Master is always in the heart as still awareness. This awareness that is in you
Oops. Yes, Kathy, I think you dropped the mic near the very, very end. The last thing I heard was this awareness that is in you. Do you want to try and finish it? If not, if you're not able to, I will finish it. Releasing the mic for you.
Okay, am I back?
Yes.
Okay, let's see. Okay, I'll just start right here. So it is the same state of I am in each of us. The living master is always in the heart as still awareness. This awareness that is in you and you in it, in me and in every one of us. That is Arunachalamramana, God, Self, Heart, Jesus, Buddha. We can name or no name. Love makes no claim of its own. And that would be the end of it. I'll turn the mic over to you, Regina.
Thank you. Yes, I love this reading very, very much. And in fact, I will post it on the Awakening Together blog on our inspiration menu for anyone who would like to read it and contemplate it. But for me, it is an absolutely perfect symbol of awakening together. It's an absolutely perfect symbol of what we practice and hold true as core values. In fact, one of our core values says, we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. And again, that starts with, we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance. And what I hear Ramana Maharshi saying to this devoted Muslim, I do not hear him saying, you know, well, you believe in the Prophet Muhammad, and the Prophet Muhammad was not truly wisdom, you need to change your beliefs. I don't hear him saying that. I don't hear him saying, yeah, you were raised in the wrong religion. You need to hang out by me. And if you hang out by me, I can teach you everything you need to know for self-realization. I don't hear him saying that. What I hear him saying is that wisdom is recognized by many names. Wisdom seems to have been coming through all time, through many different symbols, but it's always the same wisdom. So what you call the Prophet Muhammad, someone else may call Buddha, someone else may call Jesus, someone else may even say it's me, Ramana Maharshi, but actually that which is being sensed is everywhere and in everyone. It's everywhere and in everyone. And that's what we recognize here at Awakening Together. We recognize that wisdom that is everywhere and in everyone. And someone may call it Jesus. Just recently, Jay has been having some experiences that he has been sharing a little bit with some of us. And when he talks about the experiences that he's having, he says, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. But someone else having the same experience may say, it's Buddha, or it's Ramana, or it's Srinivasagadatta Maharaj, or it's the Prophet Muhammad who has come to hold my hand. Or some may even say, I don't know what it is, but it's love. Yeah, truth is nameless. And Kathy mentioned that she contemplated the last line of this story. The last line says, love makes no claim of its own. And what that means to me is that if I call love Jesus, or if I call love Buddha, or if I call love Ramana, it's not going to say, no, 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 I'm the other guy. No, 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 I'm not Jesus, I'm the prophet. Or, oh, no, 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 I'm not Ramana, I'm Buddha. Why would it bother? It's not about the form. because it's emanating from that which is before form, pre-form, beyond form, and yet, amazingly, in all form. So it isn't what we call it that matters. What matters is that we take the time to realize it, to know it, to listen to it, to intuit it, to follow it. And many people may ask, you know, how do you do that? Some people feel they don't know it. In fact, they find it very, very difficult to believe that they have access to it too, because it seems like such a stranger to their experience. I'm going to read a poem by Kabir. He was a mystic poet and a saint of India from 1440 to 1518. And his writings have greatly influenced the bhakti, or the devotional movement. His name is actually an Islamic name, which means the great. It's the 37th name of God in Islam. There is a religious community today called the Path of Kabir, which recognizes him as its founder, but he himself was both not particularly fond of traditional religion and saw the path to awakening in all forms of religion, both simultaneously, which means he was really kind of trans-religious, or he has transcended religion. He certainly encouraged people away from the outer practices that they learned from an outer teacher or an outer religion, and encouraged people to go inward to the inner path and the inner guru. When he spoke, he used the symbols of both Hinduism and Islam, but he was really pointing beyond all symbols. So here is one of his poems. Are you looking for me? I am in the next seat. My shoulder is against yours. You will not find me in the stupas, not in Indian shrine rooms, nor in synagogues, nor in cathedrals, not in masses, nor kirtans, not in legs winding around your own neck, nor in eating nothing but vegetables. When you really look for me, you will see me instantly. You will find me in the tiniest house of time. Student, tell me, what is God? He is breath inside the breath. Now, this poem itself is worth contemplating, and in fact, to just read it for your ears is not to give you a fair opportunity to realize what is in this poem. So I will also post it on the Awakening Together blog. But of course, what Kabir is saying is, whenever we are focused outward, thinking that the answer is outward, we will miss it. You know, we may go to a holy place, or go to a holy teacher, or listen to holy music. Because we are focused outward, we will miss it. It doesn't matter how wise the one is who is speaking in front of me. It doesn't matter how much wisdom is in that one's words. As I listen, I need to be focused inward. NTI in Acts chapter 19 says that, you know, when a teacher speaks, if there's something there that is for me, I will get an inner confirmation telling me it is for me. It doesn't mean that I won't hear wisdom or realize wisdom while listening to a teacher. It doesn't mean that I won't realize my divine self while in the presence of someone who already knows my divine self. Mastan Swami talked about the experience he had in the presence of Ramana Maharshi. Ramana Maharshi was so clear on the true self that in the presence of Ramana Maharshi, Mastan Swami had the experience of true self. It's like the vibration of that clarity immersed itself in him and he immersed itself in it. But yet Ramana Maharshi never encouraged Mahasan Swami or anyone else to stay near him in order to continue to have that experience. He pointed out that the experience was in them and they needed to go further within them. In fact, I had an experience a few days ago that right this moment I can't even recall. But what I recall was the temptation to think that it was coming from something outside of me, and there was a gentle reminder within, look and notice where this is happening. It is happening within. The true guru seems to always point within, always point us back at ourself. I love what Kabir says. Tell me, what is God? He is the breath inside the breath. If you contemplate just that line, the breath inside the breath, you may find it. What is the breath inside the breath? You know, it's interesting if you look at the Bible, at the book of Genesis. It refers to God as breathing into Adam's nostrils, and then Adam became a living being. So Adam had breath. But what was that breath within his breath that is called God? And how can you find the breath within the breath by looking out? It's looking in exactly the wrong direction. I also love how Kabir says you'll find it in the tiniest house of time. To me, that talks about this moment. One word that I use that I've noticed some other teachers use, like Adya Shanti, is the word flash. What happens for me often when I'm contemplating something like this lovely poem by Kabir, I will get a flash of realization. Like it comes quickly and it appears to be gone quickly sometimes too. That the absolute depth of knowing is very fast. But yet it's known with absolute certainty. That flash of realization. And in fact, Adya Shanti says that you want to do whatever you can to have these flashes of realizations. Because, you know, one day there will be a flash that will not leave. And that's what we call awakening. And for me, those flashes of realization come through contemplation, come through sitting with words like these words written by Kabir. So the outside is like a catalyst, but I'm not looking outside for the answer. I'm letting the outside catalyze what is in me. Help me have that flash of realization from within. Here's another poem by Kabir. He says, friend, hope for the guest while you are alive. The guest in this case being what we are talking about, the nameless. Hope for the guest while you are alive. Jump into experience while you are alive. Think and think while you are alive. What you call salvation belongs to the time before death. If you don't break your ropes while you are alive, do you think ghosts will do it after? The idea that the soul will join with the ecstatic just because the body is rotten, that is all fantasy. What is found now is found then. If you find nothing now, you will simply end up with an apartment in the city of death. If you make love with the divine now, in the next life you will have the face of satisfied desire. So plunge into the truth. Find out who the teacher is. Believe in the great sound. When the guest is being searched for, it is the intensity of the longing for the guest that does all the work. Look at me, and you will see a slave of that intensity. This is another theme that seems to be showing up over and over as I'm contemplating the writings of many masters and many religions. And the theme is, now is the time to go within and discover, awaken, realize. You know, life seems to have so many things that we need to be concerned about, so many things that we need to do. But all I keep hearing over and over again is, if not now, when? If not now, when? I did a teaching last Wednesday that was based on Matthew 24 in the Bible, in which Jesus was talking about how awakening comes like a thief in the night. But when it comes, we need to allow it to happen. And the way we allow it to happen is being willing to surrender into it, not cling to the idea of me. Well, if we take time every day for contemplation, if we take time longingly every day for that flash of realization, we are preparing ourselves to allow ourselves to be absorbed by the great flash when it comes. He says, when the guest is being searched for, it is the intensity of the longing for the guest that does all the work. We had a quote just a few days ago as the Awakening Together Daily quote by Michael Langford. Michael Langford said, one of the most important factors in determining if one is going to be one of those extremely rare humans that succeeds in bringing the ego to its final end is, how intense is one's desire for freedom, for truth, for eternal life? Whatever one can do to increase the extremely intense desire for this freedom, one should do. And if not now, when? After I save enough money for retirement? After my children are grown? After I find a wife or a husband? If not now, when? When am I going to cultivate this extremely intense desire, this longing for God? When am I going to take the time to go within every day and realize that flash, that tiny, tiny instant of time that is something beyond this world? What am I waiting for? The Living Guru is here now. Why not take its hand? And with that said, I'm going to play a song so that we can all contemplate this teaching. This song is by Kirtana, who is the musician that will be at our Santa Barbara retreat. The song is called Ramana's Song. And while I play this song, Barbara will post a link in the room. If anyone wants to donate to help support Awakening Together, we appreciate it. After the song, you will have the opportunity to share your own thoughts regarding this teaching, your own realization that may come during this contemplation. This is Ramana's Song by Kirtana.
Why do you seek the path that leads away? Deeper into the woods, when home is your aim, why do you pitch your tent on foreign land? Turn toward the self, go back the way you came, and enter with love the temple of heart is the holy sanctum where I reside. Offer to me the ruby of your mind. That is the sweetest offering, a mind that has died. Be still and know that I am. I am that I am. world a form to be a dream. Fashioned from consciousness, the mind is quilled. If everything that is only self, how can you be attracted or repelled? Give up for good tomorrow, just false. Immerse yourself and dwell in the heart instead. And in the presence of that holiness, do not even raise your head. I am that I am. Be still and know that I am. I am that I am. Though you may run to the ends of effort to find the self, your search is in vain, like looking for the necklace that never left your neck. Why not end the ceaseless stream? And enter with love the temple of the holy sanctum where I reside. Offer to me the ruby of your mind. That is the sweetest offering, a mind that has died. Be still and know that I am.
Was speaking earlier, I said I had an experience in the last week. I couldn't remember what it was, but immediately the thought came from within to notice where the experience was happening. I told you that there was an idea that it was something outside of me that caused it, but you know, the wisdom came, look within, notice where the experience is happening. And as we were contemplating Ramana's song, I remembered the experience. It was last Sunday night here when we were listening to Timothy Conway. In the beginning, he had his video camera turned off, so I could hear his voice like the rest of you, but I couldn't see him. And I was swiping back and forth between my Mac side, where Skype is and where he was, and my Windows side, where Pal Talk is and where you were. But every time I Skyped over to him, you know, I just saw a black screen, and then I'd come back to you every time I'd swipe over. At one point, I swiped over, and he had turned his camera on, and there he was, and I was just automatically immersed in this wonderful feeling of love. In fact, if you listen to the audio, you may hear me say, "Oh, there you are," or something like that. You can probably hear it in my voice. And the love, when I looked in his eyes, was just incredible. But immediately the thought came to pay attention inside. Where was this feeling of love? So it's interesting how things on the outside can catalyze our experience. Certain things are very, very helpful to catalyzing an experience within ourselves, such as being with one who is awakened, contemplating scripture, listening to music like the music that we just listened to very deeply without thinking. These things can catalyze experiences, but we can't give the credit to the catalyst. We need to instead pay attention and go deeper within the experience within ourselves. It's the inward path. And I love one of the lines in this song that Kirtana just sang. In the presence of this holiness, do not even raise your head, she says. So when we have these flashes and we have these realizations, to then stay in them, stay with them. Meditation often does not work for people because they meditate and they have wonderful flashes while meditating, but then they get up from the cushion and they truly leave the meditation and they go all the way back into the world. And it's about learning to stay in this experience, stay in your contemplation, or stay in your meditation, or stay in your devotion, even as you move about in the world. All right, we have a few minutes, 5 or 6 minutes for someone else to share, or a couple or three of you to share. So who has something they would like to share based on today's reading or today's teaching or sharing? About the inner guru, about the inward path. I will say that another thought that occurred to me while I was listening to Kirtana and that same line, in the presence of that holiness, do not even raise your head. I thought this is why it's really helpful to have some type of retreat after the retreat. You know, like we're having the retreat in September with Timothy and Magdi. And, you know, there's a good chance that, you know, incredible clarity, incredible experiences, incredible feelings of love are going to come over the participants. And to rush away from that back into the world, sometimes then it feels like the experience just happened at the retreat. And then people become what I call retreat junkies. And by a retreat junkie, I mean they feel they have to go to the retreat or they have to be around that person, that teacher, in order to have that experience. And of course, what Ramana was encouraging is that you realize the guru within. And so sometimes it's helpful to have some time with yourself before you rush back into the world so that you can go deeper within yourself and realize the source, the true source of that experience or the true source of that clarity that seemed to come. And that's the purpose of the retreat after the retreat. There may be a lot of things that are catalyzed within you as you listen to Timothy, Magdi, and even Kirtana. But then in that time afterwards, there's going to be a lot of time of silence, a lot of time of digestion, integration, a little bit of time of discussion. And this helps you to stay in the presence of that holiness without raising your head. It allows you to become more firmly established before you go back into your regular life. Still have a few moments if someone would like to share. All right, Dev, the mic is yours.
All right, that was a beautiful reading, of course, by Kathy. Thank you so much for the topic. It kind of reminds me of how I got into A Course in Miracles a long time ago. I heard this guy, Stuart Emery, say he spent a whole day with this woman, Helen Schuckman, and she couldn't possibly have written this course because in though he spent a day, in 20 minutes he knew that she was really not the same person that wrote this course. She was full of judgments and very narrow-minded, etc. So I remember I kind of asked, well, if she didn't write it, who did? And somebody right next to me says, it doesn't matter who wrote it. Just get the books, start with lesson one, and go as far as you can. Yesterday I had somebody who is a member of Open Minds on Facebook, and being of the Jewish faith, I was on his radio program, and he found out that I was born as an Orthodox Jew, which means very strict, and he wondered how I got to accept Jesus. So he was very also concerned, well, you know, how do we know that the New Testament is right? Everyone that ever wrote for the New Testament lived many years after Jesus. They didn't really know him. So it's this need to know who the author is that basically does keep people from actually letting go of, you know, holding on to their own little piece of being right. Although the person basically had spent some time in Nazareth, and he said, I really do have a feeling of relationship with this person, and after listening to your sharing here, both Kathy and Regina, you know, even though it may come up for us in the script that was written and we're carrying it out, and we identify with, whether it's Muhammad or Moses or Solomon or anyone, it's really all the same. And that's why the Course in Miracles says, make this year different by making it all the same. And that is the end of sacrifice. Whenever we make one thing more important than another, we are still worshiping the idol of sacrifice, and sacrifice still remains the one idea behind all the world's pains and ills, which you do find in lesson 187. I bless the world as I bless myself. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Dove. I appreciate those comments. And I also appreciate everyone that came today. And I appreciate everyone who has taken the step to become a member of Awakening Together. The way I perceive it, it's my own perception, I understand, but the way I perceive it whenever anybody becomes a member is that they're becoming a member because they share this purpose that we have of awakening, but they also share the realization that everyone has their own inner path and that we need to support each other on our inner paths instead of trying to tell each other what awakening needs to look like. Now I noticed that Susan is asking, can she say one thing? Susan, I'm passing the mic to you.
Hey Regina, I wanted to say thank you for your message, and it was a great reminder to me when you were talking about just when will we take the time, I'm just going through some, you know, a lot of changes, and the days, I mean, I spend so much time with spirit and with God, I just feel incredible, and my body feels so much energy, and then there's been days where I'm a little distracted, and I'm in the world a little bit more, and my body is just, I have no energy. I'm just depleted. I can't explain it. I'm just recognizing it more and more. And just listening to you was just a great reminder and a calling for me to remain focused and to remain, you know, on my journey and my path toward awakening, and just how very precious and my time is right now to do this and to do this work. And anyway, I just wanted to say hello to everyone, and I love you guys. And anyway, I just wanted to say it's just so important. I can just feel it right now in everything about me. So I just wanted to say that real quick. And thanks again for your beautiful message. It was great. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Susan. And yeah, I'm really glad that you heard that. It's something I remind myself of every day in the appearance of a busy life, that the contemplation needs to come first. If not now, when? Also, the majority of the people that sign up for the Awakening Together Minister Preparation Program tell me that the reason they're signing up for the program is they want to cultivate that self-discipline of getting up every day and doing something, you know, contemplative or meditative first. And, you know, that program has what we call homework, but really the homework is very contemplative, very meditative in nature. In fact, while somebody is involved in the minister program, I recommend to them that that just be their spiritual practice so that they're not trying to fit it in with other things. And, you know, some of the classes, the first class has homework 4 days a week, but some of the classes have homework 6 or 7 days a week. And I recommend that people don't try to do 2 or 3 days worth of homework at once. That defeats the real purpose, which is to inspire those flashes of realization. And the best way to have those flashes of realization is to do the homework that is assigned each day. Find that time somewhere. Again, if not now, when? And that's just a structure program to sometimes help us get into that habit. And hopefully after the program, the habit continues. All right, we've gone a little bit over, which I seem to always do with the gatherings, but that's all right. I'm going to go ahead and play our closing song, and then after the closing song, I will turn the mic over to Lynn, where everyone is invited to hang out for our social time. This closing song is one that was received within. When Resta went within to listen to her inner guru, it always came as songs. And in fact, I think there's 15 CDs of songs that she received listening to her inner guru. So this is one of Resta's songs that came to her. She did not write it herself. It is called You Are My Destination.
You are my destination. Wherever I go, you're there. You are my destination on wings of prayer. You are my sweet vibration. You are my meditation. You are the celebration of love I share. This world I travel in used to frighten me. Where should I go? What should I do? How should I look and be? And then I opened the door within my mind, where I joyfully go, there's nothing to do, and I'm simply a light that shines. You are my destination, wherever I go, you're there. You are my destination, on wings of prayer. You are my sweet vibration, you are my meditation, you are the celebration of love I share. For peace I had been searching in images outside, someone to love, someone who was a better self than I. Then your spirit showed me my holiness within, perfect and bright, light of the Christ that has forever been. You are my destination. Wherever I go, you're there. You are my destination on wings of prayer. You are my sweet vibration. You are my meditation. You are the celebration of love I share. I see you smiling in every form and face. Here, all around, there, up and down, love, blessing, time and space. I hear you calling in every gentle voice. Child, come home, you are my own. Remember and rejoice. You are my destination. Wherever I go, you're there. You are my destination on wings of prayer. You are my sweet vibration. You are my meditation. You are the celebration of love I share.
All right, thank you very much, everyone. Lynn, I'm turning the mic over to you.